Sí, ama es bo.
Obama is a socialist. He's a liar and his feet stink.
Hey, what's good? It's your man Silver Stacks in the booth, aka Rich Black, aka MC Fuck You. And right now I'm about to get shit poppin' with my man's DJ Canonical, the Scribe, and MC Library.
Sociopathic, slinging his bogus, hoping change opiates by the boatload to the masses. A black president to let him tell it, but he ain't fooling nobody, he dance worse than Ellen. A felon in a nice suit who works with words. The crash weddings, the drone strike, thirst for murder is written all in his face. When the worst occurs, he's in his element, hell bent on war for the hell of it. Obama and Romney like peas in a pod. The facade of peace to seize you, your freedom is gone. They'll send the police to detain you at 3 in the morning, ship you to a black site without reading a charge, and still convince you that the terrorists all be from Iran, to scare you into thinking they promote freedom with bombs. America, land of the free, home of the slave, ruled by a stank foot, the smell will blow you away.
Obama, liar,
true. Hey, murder stunts at children, brags about it on the news. But Romney's a stooge too, steadily itching to loot you. Meeting's jealous, Barack stomping blue boots. Romney wants to call the shots, blow the brains off little tots. The bulges, tiny dots, turds in the melting pots. Huh, and yes, I'm mocking the democracy, cause it's a mockery. TV's not stopping me from thinking properly, the government is monopoly. Rather play life with my wife, so fuck the left and right. MC Library, shine bright while Barry lies right, sucking up the limelight. Should've stayed a high guy, you feel me? Now his feet smelly like porta potties in New Delhi.
Obama, liar, deep stink, his feet stink, liar, his feet stink, deep stink, deep stink, Obama, liar.
Welcome to the fifth and final presidential debate being hosted today by FDR TV. We're coming to you live from the stately and hurricane-proof Dick Cheney Bunker at the War Memorial Social Contract Center in beautiful downtown Lyopolis.
If I were president, I'd do more to control guns.
Control guns? I'd make it illegal to hold one.
Well, what about the Fed? They need to print more funds.
What about the Fed? They need to print more funds.
I won't let the people bitch. Ow. Internet kill switch.
I'll make them pay to log on so we can milk that shit.
Only if you spend the money on the drug war.
But we'll need police for that, so I'll employ more.
I'll put a cop on every corner so you'll never be alone.
I'll see your cops and rage you a drone above every home.
Ha! If I was gonna vote, I'd vote for Ron Paul. The voting is for suckers, nobody should vote at all.
Be your own kings and queens and nobody's slave. To sum it up in a phrase, motherfuck this state.
Obama, he's a liar, deep stink. His feet stink, deep stink. He's a liar and his feet stink. Deep stink, deep stink, stink. Obama, he's a liar, deep stink. His feet stink, deep stink. He's a liar and his feet stink. Deep stink, deep stink, stink. Obama, he's a liar, deep stink. His feet stink, deep stink. He's a liar and his feet stink.
Yo,
going all the way back to 2012 with a bunch of folks who are you're listening to right now, and another dude that's really cool with Obama's feet stink.
Yeah, love that song. Love the last chorus too. That's probably my favorite.
Yeah, I pretended to be the plump back lady singing back up, and it really helped.
It did. Yeah. Great stuff, Michael.
Yeah, I dragged y'all kicking and screaming into doing that one. I got in fights with both of you, and you know, virtual fist fights over the internet, but it worked out great. Sometimes you got to suffer to make art with me to make it great.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't trade that for the world, Michael. Good job.
Yeah. You I don't know. I've kind of wormed my way into your colon, I think. We'll talk about colons later. The last half hour today colons, is devoted okay. to colons.
Colon cola.
Colon health and fun. But I usually call you about, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day while you're working. And you dig
unless
it.
Unless you found a new TV show. Yeah, like, you hadn't called me for 2 days, and I was like, what's up with Michael? I call you, and you're like, I'm watching Southland.
You called me, and I talked to you for about 8 minutes, and then said, I got to go. I'm watching Southland. I've discovered a new cop show. You know, actually, in the Obama's Feet in the Obama's Feet Stink video, when Dre is rapping about the cops kicking in your door to detain you at 3 a.m, I have a screenshot of some cops kicking in a door, and it's from the show Southland. It's the only one I could find.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That was before you were into the show, though. You just Googled cops busting down doors, and that's what you found.
Yep, yep. But now I recognize exactly what scene it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cops.
Screw cops, man. I mean, I get that you can suspend your statism. That's fine. Like, I don't begrudge you that. But I don't like TV drama enough to feel like I should take that extra step to suspend my statism. Like, I don't get anything out of it. I don't benefit from it. But you're really into TV dramas for some reason.
I don't know. I really am, man. I really am.
Yeah. It so warms your cockles.
Let's speak about some real cop dramas. New York State offers $500 reward for reporting gun owners.
Right, and apparently they had been doing this for about a year, but they sort of kept it on the low, which I found kind of weird. Usually they're all obsessed with the snitching. Like we did on the last episode, there was that organization telling you to snitch on your boss for the pirated software. But CBS in New York, I guess, outed them and have said that, yeah, for more than a year, the state of New York has a tip line. They give you $500 if you report a quote-unquote illegal gun owner, which I guess the definition of illegal gun owner has been broadened immensely for all New York State citizens.
Yeah, to basically doing things that you could do in Wyoming in your front yard and advertise in the paper are now felonies in New York. You know, I was right. We were talking last episode about how they're going to get up to five, you know, instead of 3 felonies a day, it's going to be 3,000 felonies a day. And I think that the, like, when the army is replaced by drones, then they'll replace the congressmen with, you know, law bots. And they'll just write new legislation every day. And then you'll have the 1984 telescreen in your house, and it'll probably be ported to your cell phone, too, where it'll just have a constant stream of the new laws as they're written. It'll kind of look like on the Matrix, when they show the computer code behind the actual Matrix.
Uh-huh. It's just, that'll be the laws.
Yeah, and it's just streaming down, you know, like 20 text lines per second just going down the screen. And that won't even be like the text of the laws. That'll be just the name of the new laws. You know, they'll be doing like,
or it'll be
a
like
second.
A ticker, like they have on CNN and Fox and MSNBC after 9/11. You know, on the ticker instead of news items, it'll be new laws that you must obey.
Yep.
And it'll be, since it's a two-way telescreen, it'll tell you what to do. It'll be like, don't pour that water into the teacup. You know, that's illegal now.
Yeah, pour the teacup into the water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do it backwards.
In Soviet Russia,
thus the state says.
In Soviet America. Toilet pees on you. We're saving that for the last half hour, though.
You're so bad at saving things, though, and you're so bad at
teasing.
Surprises.
I'm teasing, man. You know,
you just get too excited.
You know what I really like on this? New York State offers $500 reward for basically 20 pieces of silver. I mean, literally, like, okay, a piece of silver is an ounce, $30 an ounce. That's $300. That'd be $600. Literally, that is almost exactly 20 pieces of silver.
In the Bible, though, wasn't it 30 pieces of silver?
It varies, but it's totally in the same realm. It's literally like $500, $600, bucks, $800, whatever. They are offering you 20 pieces of silver to turn in your neighbors.
Yep. Sell your neighbor out to the state. Exactly.
Yep. And it's kind of like the poverty draft. They've ruined the economy so much that some good people will seriously consider turning in their neighbors for $500 because, you know, that'll keep them from getting evicted for another month.
And if you feel like snitching or making fun of the people who take the snitch calls, the number is apparently 1-855-GUNS-NYS. So GUNSNYS. So I guess Guns New York State.
Yeah, I like the comments on this. I looked at some of the comments. It's the usual, you know, the state's gone too far. This is tyranny. Atlas is going to shrug. A lot of those with a couple of, I think this is a good idea. But the one that's really funny is there's a spam in here that I see on a lot of forums and posts and comments that actually kind of makes sense for once. In the context of this, the spam says, my classmate's mom makes $79 an hour on the laptop. She's been laid off for 10 months, but last month her pay was $16,087 just working on the laptop for a few hours. Read more.
And what she's doing is turning in her neighbors.
Yes, yes.
That's how she's made it. Yeah, that's great. That's yeah. great. Yeah, well, this snitching is getting out of hand. Did you read the thing about, oh, God, it was in New Jersey. Some dude on his Facebook posted a picture of his son holding a .22 caliber AR, which I guess is legal there. And he didn't have his finger on the trigger. You know, he's doing great gun safety. The guy was a gun instructor, and his son had taken the classes.
Gun instructor.
Right. Oh, there you go.
So he was approved by the state.
Credentials.
Yeah.
Exactly. And his neighbor, because, you know, at first when I saw the headline, I was like, oh, crap, the cops are trolling Facebook. Because I'd seen that in England where, you know, you say something bad and you get thrown away. And then there was that veteran about a year ago who was saying things and he got taken away by the mental health goons. But this guy, what it was a neighbor or a Facebook friend of his reported the picture. And then the Child Protective Services, I guess, have rules that they are required to respond to every inquiry. So if a snitch calls Child Services is obligated to go goon a house.
Wow. I think of Child Services, I think of Stick Boy on King of the Hill. Remember Stick Boy?
Stick Boy. Oh, yeah.
I think it's the first episode.
Right. Yeah. Right. It is literally the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bobby gets hit by a baseball and has a black eye because Bobby's bad at sports.
Yeah.
And I guess somebody thinks it's
Dale Gribble. Dale Gribble calls the county. His friend.
Oh, is it Dale that snitches?
His friend. I think it is, man.
No.
Dale's kind of insane. Oh, Dale. I know Dale calls like the FBI or the DHS because Dale becomes uber American for a minute and he paints an American flag on covering all of Hank's roof and Hank's up trying to clean it off. And it's the one where Hank, the DMV made a mistake and listed Hank on his license as female and Hank's trying to get it reversed. And they show they show Dale in with his shades drawn on the phone, whispering and going, I want to report an un-American person. He's currently defacing an American flag, and he's in the process of changing his identity.
Isn't that the ultimate in American statism, though? Yeah. Putting a flag on something you don't own and then complaining when the owner defaces it?
Yes. Yep. And the FBI, I think it's before 9/11, the FBI guy shows up and meets with Hank in his living room for about 5 minutes and then finally says, well, Mr. Hill, I know what I'm looking for. Not that I can say I'm looking for anything in particular, but you aren't it. Have a good day. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, it's more and more you can, I think, rely less and less on the goons to actually take common sense to heart when these situations happen. And if the snitch calls and the goon force is required to go and the goons are less and less likely to let you go on your own recognizance or just realize, hey, this is a bunk snitching, I mean, then you're in a really horrible situation. I mean, really, we're in a situation where it's like East Germany or something, and you have to be just as scared of the person sitting next to you or your neighbor as you have to of the goons, because it's like the snitch sets it up and the goons spike it and knock it down. You know, 1-2 punch kind of thing.
I think we should look at the Tribune. I think we should look at the Trib.com. Where people sell stuff, what's called the classifieds for the yard sales, and see who's selling weapons.
Although the Trib is so status, they might not let that in their classifieds.
No, they do. They do. They do.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay. So well, good for them.
What else we got going on today? Status. What do you got? Somebody asked us about calendars. Do you want to... here, let me pigeon you the calendar or the T-shirt request and then my answer while I look for some gun sales in Wyoming.
Okay.
Or do you have something
else? I just wanted to say what I had something else on this same line before we move on. I found the link actually to this New York snitch line on Will Griggs' take on what we talked about last cast about Benjamin M. Wassel, you know, the guy that got gooned for selling the AR to the undercover snitch cop.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize this, but it was literally like days after the law started. And I don't know if we addressed that, that literally the thing that the police arrested this guy for, he couldn't have been arrested for just a few days prior. That's how arbitrary and ridiculous the state is. And the Attorney General's office actually, or sorry, the New York State Police, I didn't hear that this is what their comment was on the situation. This is how they gloated, as Will Griggs says it. The quote is, "Our partnership with the Attorney General's office has resulted in taking a dangerous criminal off the streets." So they literally said that out of their mouths, that this Benjamin M. Wassel guy, who did nothing but sell an inanimate object to somebody who wanted it, is a dangerous criminal who needed to be taken off the streets.
Whereas in Wyoming, the public defender's office recently sent out a request asking lawyers how they would react to this or what they would think. And it was kind of a freedom fix. It was kind of like, okay, you have a client who went into a Walmart to buy an assault rifle and some lettuce. Like, I just love so far the phrasing of that, which, you know, my answer was don't register your lettuce.
That's the hypothetical?
Yeah.
Don't register your lettuce.
And they mark on the form that it's not for someone else, but it is a gift for someone else. It's kind of this legal gray area that the public defender was trying to figure out if it should be a crime, you know, if it's a crime and how to defend against it if someone's arrested for it. And this is the public defender for the state, like, you know, the head public defender's office doing research on how to protect people from the federal goons. That's pretty awesome with guns here.
That's a man bites dog kind of a thing.
Yeah.
That's not normal in the rest of the country.
Yeah. And they phrased it as, okay, you have a client who went into Walmart to buy an assault rifle and some lettuce. I love that. Well, she did say assault rifle, which is not accurate because Walmart doesn't sell assault rifles. Police carry assault rifles, although they call them personal defense weapons, PDWs. An assault rifle, for those who don't know the difference. Okay, an assault rifle is different. An assault weapon kind of doesn't exist. That's a creation of the gun grabbers and the media.
And an intentional creation, too. I didn't know that, but that was actually, I think it was some kind of policy paper where they decided to do that to confuse the matter.
Yep. So assault rifles actually take their term from Sturmwaffe, which is the first assault rifle, actually. It's the German Nazi, it means storm weapon. And it was the first intermediate cartridge select fire from full auto to burst fire to single fire with an intermediate cartridge. You know, basically, it's like it's a cartridge that's smaller than a battle rifle and bigger than a handgun. You know, and it's basically that weapon is what the AK-47 is based on. A full auto AK-47 or select fire is an assault weapon. The AKs that
is an assault rifle.
Assault rifle.
Not an assault weapon.
An
assault rifle.
Damn, they've brainwashed me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's even confusing us.
But anything that you can buy at a Walmart type place or a sporting goods place, even if it's an AK-47 in America, is not full auto, which means it's not an assault rifle. Now, assault rifle is a very specific term and has that meaning, and it's used wrong. Assault weapon doesn't really have a strict meaning, but when it does, it's a military term for basically something that can kill a whole bunch of people at a distance that can be carried by one or two people. So a rocket-powered grenade.
I don't even think it's that. I think Scott Horton's right when he says an assault weapon is anything that scares a Democrat.
Well, that's their
use
of it.
So it could be a shotgun with a pistol grip.
Yeah, that's their use of it. But if there is a proper term of it, it's a military term for things like flamethrowers and rocket-powered grenades. Those are assault weapons.
Ah.
You know, basically something that can indiscriminately kill a bunch of guys standing around at a distance that can be carried by one or two people.
Which, when I first met you, you thought the state should prevent people from buying those type of things, too. How do you feel about it now?
I think the people should prevent the state from buying those kinds of things.
There you go. diplomatically said, all right.
Yeah. I mean, how would society be helped by someone being stopped somehow from being able to possess those? Okay. Like, if my neighbor doesn't like me, you know, he could kill me with a 22. And he could kill me just as dead with an RPG. So I don't think it makes a difference. I really don't. And, I always go back to, you know, people say, well, somebody could kill a whole group of people indiscriminately. I go back to anybody can drive a car into a group of people standing around and kill a whole bunch of them.
And cars could poison the incoming water in a school. I mean,
and these are horrible things. And God help anyone who ever does anything like that. But, you know, anybody can kill a bunch of people. It's not any easier with a weapon, with a gun.
Right, right. And I don't think state action ever really prevents any of this kind of stuff. And so what it does is when the state bans something, all it does is create state violence that is widespread and happens all the time. And I would think there'd be a good argument to be made that that state violence is bigger in scale. There's more violations of the non-aggression principle happening when the state bans something than when somebody goes out and does some kind of massacre.
Absolutely, because cops violate. I called cops guns. Those guys called guns.
cops are the guns of the state.
The government gun guys violate people all day long, every day. From barely invasive things on the scale. You know, like giving you a traffic ticket. Which you think is not, you know, you're going to say, don't diminish it. But it is. It is compared to what all the other things they do, like kick in doors and shoot people when they have the wrong address or the right address, ruin people's lives for plants and powders, drag them off, throw them in cages, steal their house, you know, all sorts of stuff, man. Cops are not a good force in the world. I did an interview, another interview with Bill Buepert. Last night. It's on the Gumbo right now.
Live from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not live, but
it was from Afghanistan. It's amazing. That guy's amazing.
How'd it go?
I want to get him to get Audio Cactus and start having him on like monthly on the Gumbo. I think it might keep me from pod fading with the Gumbo, because the Gumbo is kind of becoming like, I have to come up with an interview, you know, because I'm so busy with the fiends. But that guy is so right on, so amazing. Never cusses, is polite, is smart, like has a military history knowledge that exceeds Scott Horton's, and he's been in the military. He's been an officer in the military, and he's a straight-up anarchist, and he's leaving America. Amazing, amazing guy. And he's
Afghanistan?
No, that's not his lib pair. But he
you were saying he does some kind of work over there. Is he
can't talk about
helping
it.
The goons
can't
out?
Can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it.
He can't talk about it, or you can't?
Can't talk about it.
He can't.
I asked him about it off. Okay. Can't talk about it. Okay. Basically, he's trying to get he's trying to get money to expat.
Ah, expat.
Yep.
When it's a verb like that, is it expate?
I don't know. I tried it live just now, and I don't know if I got it or not. Did I?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I guess we'll see if it catches on.
Expat.
That's how the fiends work, right?
Storm Wagner. Yeah.
Wagner.
Storm Wagner. Da 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 da. That's my ringtone.
Oh, yeah. You're so excited about it.
I know.
That's why it takes you so long to answer. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, man. So, goons and...
Eight bit tastic.
8-bit is awesome.
Kill the wabbit. Kill the wabbit. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you kill wabbits in New York now? You gotta get a longbow.
You have to call animal control, and they come.
call animal control.
Yeah. So read about our t-shirt decision.
Is that how the future of hunting in the goon states like New York and California is? You got to apply for a member of the Department of Fish and Hogs to escort you and carry the gun.
There's actually there's a picture going around. It's really funny of the future of deer hunting in America, and it's a giant mouse trap with like fruit in it and a deer sniffing at it. There's a King of the Hill.
So you could just put.
That makes fun of government bureaucracies. It's where a snake escapes in the town, and the two retards that run the fish and game, the animal control, get the city council to vote them a bunch more money, and they buy all sorts of unneeded things like snake radar and snake sonar and you know, USB enabled espresso machine. I mean, literally, it makes fun of how that works, and it's the whole town has snake fear, and they give a bunch of money to these guys who just end up sitting around playing with their toys and not. And then Hank has to go down into the Hank and Dale go down to the sewer and catch the snake.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of you're fond of talking about the mongoose problem and comparing it to the government, and that's just it, man, isn't it? I mean, the government, all the problems today that people talk about in current events are all problems created by the government, and those problems were created by the government of a previous time to address problems that were created by a government of a previous time, and it's just on and on and on and on, back down to the first state, I'm assuming. You know, it's just time to cut it out, man. Time to stop throwing crap at other crap and just get a bidet.
Yeah, that's coming up later. Speaking of getting rid of statism, I was talking with Bill Buebert about that, and he's come up with the same like 12-step program idea for it, like recovering status. Like we need something like that. And there's probably enough people in recovery that we could actually come up with one. But the thing is, I don't think that recovering statists who have gone all the way to zero gov, as he puts it, would need a program to keep them from relapsing. It's not like, oh my God, Ben Stone, I'm waking you up in the middle of the night because I'm going to vote. Talk me out of it. I think it'd be more like I think it'd be more like Al-Anon. You know, we're still in a codependent relationship we're forced to be in with the state and statisms, statism, and we need a 12-step program to deal with it. So it's like Al-Anon.
Right, because as Ben Stone says, once you see that turd in the pool, you can't unsee it. You know it's there.
Nobody goes back. Although people do go back from Minarchy, because Chris Matthews from Hodball was once interviewing Ron Paul and basically called him a child. He said, well, you know, Ron Paul, I can't even do his accent, but he was like, when I was younger, I believed in limited government. I backed Barry Goldwater. And then I grew up. I'm like, okay, so your idea of limited government is a guy who wanted to nuke Vietnam to end a war we started instead of just leaving. And you think you grew up by becoming more statist. Man, that's so square.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, minarchists don't reject out of hand the aggression of the state. They still buy the main premise, which is that a small group of people is legitimate when they commit aggression on others because it's for some kind of vague sense of public good. All minarchists do is say that it's more in the public good for that group of few people to tyrannize us slightly less. That it's a matter of – it's a difference of degree, not a difference of kind between a minarchist and a Democrat or a Republican, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They all want
the difference
violence.
Between the difference between an anarchist and everybody else is a difference of kind. It's not that I'm so far along that I'm an anarchist now. It's that I've rejected completely the premise of a state.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And I thank you for your service.
Although, if we're going to continue on the recovery analogy, I would say that a big part of it is having status want what we have. Well, it's having status want what we have. You know, isn't that what they say in AA or people say about it? Is, you know, for a sponsor, pick somebody who you want what they have. You know, they've recovered and they're living their life in a way that you'd like to live their life.
Yeah, I got that wrong the first time around. My first sponsor I picked because he had long hair, he looked cool, he drove a Mercedes, he played bass, and he had a hot girlfriend. But he ended up not being a good sponsor. I later ended up with a really good sponsor who had what I had, which was he was comfortable in his own skin and wasn't crazy like my first sponsor. And, you know, he was nothing like me. He hated rock and roll. He was old. He was square, but he had what I wanted. What I learned I really wanted.
Right. When you learned a little bit more about what you really wanted.
Yeah, when I learned about it's more about the internal than the external. And In AA, they do say our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. So I think the same thing would be true with recovery from statism. We have to make it look so good, like we're having such a good time, which to me isn't hard. We just have to not focus on the politics. And I've talked before about how I used to go to the atheist, agnostic, anarchist meeting of AA or of NA in San Francisco, and they spent more time talking about God than the people at the regular AA meetings. You know, why spend your time complaining about the thing you think doesn't exist? Let's talk about the good stuff and the lib pair and what we did today and the movies we saw. And the other stuff.
One of the things I worry about modern mainstream atheism, though, and I'm not saying that atheism as a concept is bad or wrong, or I'm not making argument against that, but I worry, I've seen billboards all around Austin, like the atheists here have went on a big PR spending spree, and one of them has a picture of Rick Perry, and he's like smiling in a goofy way, and it says, his solution to school shootings? Prayer. And I almost feel like I worry that atheists who aren't also anarchists, you know, it's that whole statheist thing, right? They assume that there's still some mystical power in collectivization, i.e. the state. And, you know, that's one of the things I'm wary of is people, like Ben says, kicking nature or God or however you conceive of natural law off the throne and putting human collectivism there in its stead.
Yeah, and small government Republicans don't go far enough with that. They do complain correctly that Obama has kicked God off the throne. They don't use that phrase, but they say, you know, I mean, the ones that aren't crazy and think he's a Muslim or whatever, the ones who actually say, like, you know, he's a secular humanist and he wants to be God. That is true, but that's not the full extent of the problem. The full extent of the problem is he's a secular humanist. He wants his collective vision to be God and to rule over people who are individual. He's basically against minority rights.
Right.
You know?
Right. Especially the smallest minority, the minority of the individual. He doesn't want there to be any conceptualization of I have a right because I am myself an individual. You know, everything should be viewed in terms of how it affects the state or the collective. You know, kind of like that Mussolini thing that everything in the state or for the state, nothing outside of the state.
Well, Nazi Germany was like that too. You know, they banned smoking because it was bad for the strong American, or the strong American, the strong German, you know, warrior, the blonde haired, blue eyed, you will be part of the master race. You can't be the master race if you're smoking. You know, you can't run after them communists and Americans shooting them with a Sturmwaffe, STG-44 model weapon. It looks like an AK. I mean, I could look at it and say, yeah,
it does.
This turned into an AK. They added a piston inside it and turned it into an AK. So another observation I have about what's wrong with that atheist campaign, and God help them if they're stealing public money for that. They probably are. But it sets up such an us and them mentality. And a lot of people who are single-minded on single-source ideas get into that to where, well, Rick Perry's not an atheist, so he is what's wrong with all non-atheists. That's not that's not what's wrong with Rick Perry. There's a lot wrong with Rick Perry. And I really believe that the only, like most people who have a single-minded idea, mine is, you know, liberty versus tyranny, or aggression versus non-aggression, or anarchy versus statism. Like most people who walk around all day thinking about a single thought and viewing the world in that single mirror, I think that my idea is the only one that's right to judge everyone on, but I really believe it is because it is, though, because everybody else wants to aggress and we don't. So you want to expand on that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, completely. And even I'll take it with the specific case of Rick Perry and the atheists is I feel like the big deal is they're arguing over who gets to make the rules about how to prevent school shootings. Like there should be one rule and we should all follow it. And we've got the solution because look at Rick Perry's solution. It's to get on your knees and ask God for some magical solution. I mean, they're both wrong because they're arguing over who gets to control everybody else. Whereas, you know, the argument from non-aggression is nobody should control anybody else. And the reason I think, like you say, well, the thing I'm single-minded about is right, is because it can be universalized. Because nobody wants to be aggressed upon. Nobody. There's not one single person. Now, people might want some kind of violence committed against them because in an intentional way, you know, kind of like a kink thing or a BDSM thing.
No, that's
or
not
people
aggression.
Like to box or play football.
It's not aggression.
That's what I said. There's a big distinction there. I said it's violence. Violence is something that's violent. And Ben Stone made this thing recently. You know, boxing is violence. You punch somebody in the face, that's a violent thing. But it's not aggression because you want to be there. You signed up to be in that ring. You put those gloves on and laced them up. And that's very different. But nobody in this world that I can think of wants somebody else's will to be forced upon them through aggression. So,
I disagree.
No human being wants that.
Some statists want that.
Really?
Yeah, really good example. And it's usually in the guise of, well, I'm willing to be aggressed on some so you can be aggressed on some. A really common example is rich people who, for some reason, say, I don't mind if they raise the taxes. I'm willing to pay my fair share.
Okay.
Because
okay,
they're
well,
saying,
let's explore that for a little bit.
They're saying, hey, I'm willing to bite the bullet and put my butt a little higher in the air, so you will be forced to.
But see, I still think they don't want to be aggressed upon because they're for it, right? They don't see it as an aggression because – and this is why I always say, well, fine then, William Buffett or Warren Buffett, write a check and send it to the government. They have a donation team. That's actually a thing in the government. You can donate to the general fund. Go ahead and do that. What they're really saying is that I want everybody else to do it too because if I write a check, it's going to be a drop in the bucket. So not only do I want to write a check, but I want Bill Gates and all these other billionaires in my same bracket and league to be forced to do the same. Otherwise, I don't feel like doing it. I mean, it's a conditional thing, right? He's not going to write that check if nobody else writes the check. He's only willing to go far enough if everybody else is aggressed upon. So I still think what he's doing is he's saying, yeah, I want to donate, but my donation is contingent on other people being aggressed upon.
And, you know, I would say – somebody talked about this in the chat room. I would say – that even atheists who are statist atheists, will, in a way, say that the answer to random violence, like rape, for instance, is prayer. Because their answer is women shouldn't be able to have a gun. They should have a whistle and a cell phone. And they should try to get the god of the state to send a man with a gun in to protect them in time to prevent. And that's pretty close to praying
for
something that's unlikely to happen, actually.
Exactly.
It's
calling on the state to come and protect you, which it's very unlikely that they'll get there in time to do anything but, you know, do one of those rape tests afterwards and write up some paperwork, you know. Put a warm blanket on you and give you some cocoa is about all they can do.
Bill Mayer is thinking of leaving California because of the tax rate. That's funny and ironic because he's one of those people who's been like, hey, everybody should pay their fair share. But I guess they raised the fair share to the point that he doesn't feel it's fair. And he's probably making more money now than when he said that to where they're really going to rape him over the barrel. And I hope he doesn't come to Wyoming, man. He might. I mean, he might move to Jackson and buy a ranch and run his show from there over a Comrex.
I think that's another good example of my point, though, that when people say everybody should pay their fair share, that everybody means everybody else. That's the thing they're leaving out of that phrase because they usually think that they're already paying their fair share.
Yeah.
Like Bill Maher here, it raises a little bit, and he's like, well, that's a little bit more than my fair share, deuces, and he pieces out. So, yeah, I still think that statists – they don't think of the aggression on themselves, and if they do, it's in such a vague sense that they don't think they're being aggressed upon, at least in a net way, because they're probably getting more out of the deal than they're losing because they're a tax eater or a parasite. So what they're really getting is aggression on other people that benefits and puts food on their table and nicer cars in their driveway.
So somebody said that me saying I hope Bill Mayer doesn't come to Wyoming is literally a prayer. It's not the same kind of prayer as using a whistle to call the police when you're being raped, because you are really unlikely to win in that situation. Whereas I really don't think Bill Mayer is likely to come to Wyoming. Just because there's so many guns and rednecks here, I really don't think he'd be comfortable. Mm. You know, he'll probably go to some place Like Jackson. He'll go to Colorado because he can smoke weed there. They're starting to ban guns there. And he'd have a chance at getting involved in politics and pointing more guns at the things he doesn't like from the day he moves there. Whereas Wyoming, right. he wouldn't have a chance. You know, it would just, there's too many ranch legislators that like to carry guns into the chamber and like to have private gun sales with me.
There you go.
Yeah.
I thought you lost all your guns in a voting. Oh, that's how you lost them in a voting accident.
No, I did
you voted
sell,
for people who bought your guns from you.
I did sell a gun to a state rep in my living room in Wyoming, and it was completely legal at the time and still would be completely legal. And, you know, like I said, you could literally pay $5 to the city and get that permission slip to have a yard sale, and you could put an ad in the paper that says assault weapons yard sale, and you could sell your assault weapons in your yard sale. and the cops would show up and probably buy some of them.
Yeah, there you go. Only if you gave them a discount, though. I don't think cops like buying guns at retail. they would demand a discount.
I've actually seen cops in gun stores here buying guns at wholesale.
Really? They don't get some kind of special goon price?
No, and actually, cops here carry their own guns. They're not issued one, because there are literally cops here that still carry revolvers and wear cowboy hats. I've seen it.
Well, I've seen that, too. I always thought, though, that was... You can.
An option.
Like it's an option.
Oh, they will.
You can be issued a gun.
Yeah, you're right. They will issue you the Glock 40, but right. a lot of them don't like it because they're used to revolvers.
Because I remember being at a news conference and commenting on one of the cops. He had an awesome revolver. It was like it was in an awesome holster, too, like a really nice leather, old school cowboy type holster. And I asked him about it because I don't think I'd ever seen a cop carrying anything but, you know, a Glock or a Smith & Wesson
He probably has a Glock as a backup weapon on his ankle.
I think he did, actually. I don't know if it was on his ankle, but he did tell me he keeps a backup, too. And he said, yeah, they let us carry whatever we can qualify with. So whatever they can go and shoot the appropriate things with.
Shoot the antelope at 500 yards with the assault revolver. Someone said they mistyped state rep as state rape.
I don't know if that's a mistype.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be the anarchist autocorrect right there.
I'm feeling pretty unraped by the state today, man. I'm feeling pretty fluffy and potent. I don't know, because it's snowing and there's no cops on my block. There's never cops on my block, almost never.
Yeah.
Although I did tell you about how a couple weeks ago, I don't know if I said this on the show, but I said it to you. There were some cops serving papers to someone on our block. I don't know what papers were, but there was a Casper policeman and a sheriff. And the Casper policeman was probably about 55 and a little out of shape. And I'm not making fun of him. He actually looked cooler than the sheriff to me. He looked like a dude. He looked like a Wyoming cowboy. And the sheriff guy was younger and in shape and stood with his hands on his hips with his legs kind of spread, more like, you know, a soldier. Mm-hmm. Whereas the mm-hmm. cop kind of looked like, or no, it was the other way around. It was the sheriff that looked really, really, he looked like a peace officer, and the cop looked like a soldier to me.
Okay. Well, and there was an age difference too, right?
Yeah.
The sheriff was older.
The sheriff
cop was younger.
Probably about 58 probably, and the cop was about 30.
Right. So I wonder how much of that is the sheriff's probably lived there in Casper a while, and the cop could be a new guy who decided, I want to be a goon, and
LAPD
shopped himself out to different...
LAPD reject who couldn't get hired anywhere else.
Could be. A reject. Or I know in Riverton, you know, a lot of the cops they hired were out-of-towners just because they were hiring people who were looking for jobs. You know, maybe they didn't have enough experience to get hired in their hometown, so they got to go to smaller markets just like I did as a reporter. You know, go to Riverton. So
we're really,
there are a lot of cops,
you know,
in Riverton
from
like
a minarchist standpoint, and even in LibPair, I would say, I would think you'd want to hire cops from the community they're patrolling.
Oh yeah, I
because
would think so too.
They, you know, they'd have the eyes on the ground, the eyes on the street. They'd know what's going on. You know, they'd know. Oh, this guy screams a lot, but he never beats his wife. So if there's a screaming call, we have to take that into account, or any number of things. Mm-hmm. You know, or know who's committing real crimes and who's not. You know, whereas someone who does actually in LA, this is kind of interesting. They actually give a bonus, a yearly bonus, to cops who will live in the district they patrol. And a lot of them won't, you know, they'll go live out in Castaic or something. And they're like, I wouldn't live in Echo Park if you paid me. You can't pay me enough to live where I used to live, you know?
Yeah. Well, I feel like a minarchist in a sense that it's kind of naive, because I think the state, what the state would rather have, you know, the state as a general whole, the concept of goons being lorded over us is, you know, with the militarization of police, it's better for them if the police are more like an occupying force or an occupying army, a foreign intervention in your hometown.
And they hire local people. They like to hire people who've been over in Afghanistan and Iraq now.
Right. Which is just awful.
Yeah,
awful.
Yeah.
And from a minarchist point of view, I don't know how you could be cool with that, you know, but I bet there are lots of minarchists out there who are like, you know, our good old boys who were out there serving a country are now serving it here at home, you know. But, I mean, do you really want the people that that can pull you over, that literally have a license to kill you, to have spent so much time over? Because, you know, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, I mean, it's not like other wars. It's not like they were battling armies. They were battling people who looked like regular people. You know, they were shooting people up at checkpoints. And we have checkpoints these days. You know, we have Viper checkpoints. We have drunk driving checkpoints. So literally, it's a situation that's so similar. I mean, skin colors might be a little bit different, but you have goons out there with guns that are used to sitting there and looking for anything suspicious and overreacting to it.
Tranny Hooker 69, great name, has an interesting comment in the chat room. I think it's so funny how there are so many cops and cop agencies, but private businesses still need to hire a $10 an hour security guard.
Yeah, man, because that's just it. Cops don't and aren't obligated to protect any person or personal property. That's not their job at all. It's been stated as such.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before. So if you really do need property protection, you still got, not only do you have to pay taxes to the cops, but you have to, you know, go and hire somebody who will really actually do work to protect your property.
You know, I had a thought the other day. This is kind of bringing my dad into this, but as an example, because people, we've heard an interview with him. We did an interview. Everyone's heard the interview with him. It's great. He's 91. He's a minarchist, or tending towards one. You know, I think he still voted for Romney, though. He won't tell me, and I'm pretty sure he did, because he's like, well, if Ron Paul gets the nomination, I'm going to vote for him, but I don't want to waste my vote. And when I asked him who he voted for, he wouldn't tell me. I think he voted for Romney,
yeah.
Which is bad, yeah. Minarchist. Bad minarchist. Minarchists should vote for Ron Paul, not Romney. So I thought of an interesting disconnect in something he said to me once when I was a kid. Like he goes on and on about the founding fathers and the American Revolutionary War and how great it all was and how they were heroes and great men. But when I was, you know, when I first discovered rock and roll, I would try to bond with my dad by playing him rock songs and showing him the lyrics. And I remember showing him the Rolling Stones song Street Fightin' Man, which says the time is right for a violent revolution. And he really didn't like that line, which kind of goes back to the, you know, he's like, I don't like that, which kind of goes back to what you said about how, you know, revolutionaries, once they gain power, always become conservatives.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's well, I mean, that's the historical evidence, right? I mean, why would you not? It's just human nature. You're radical until you have the power, and then of course you want to keep it. I mean, why would you be radical against yourself? Let's throw the bums out, and by bums I mean myself.
And
that
he's not radical, but he idolizes people who are radical in their time, the founding fathers and the Revolutionary War. You know, the farmers with guns who fought off the occupying army. The farmers with rifles who could actually shoot them, who also didn't wear bright red coats in the snow, which is really not a good tactical advantage.
No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I tend to not think about those terms anymore because it's too easy to get caught up in sort of the whole religiosity of it and thinking that the founding fathers were great men and godlike and that this was some kind of amazing thing.
5,000 year
a biblical
leap.
Ethic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 5,000 year leap type of stuff. You know, it was a historical event. It happened. It didn't end up meaning more freedom for anybody. So there you go. You know, I don't think the revolution that I'm looking for, is anything like that. You know, I think it's more of an evolution, and that's kind of cliche, but really, I think it's about humanity as a whole shedding this cancer that we call the state eventually.
And it really seems like an uphill battle to me and seems unlikely, but historical precedents make me feel a little better about that. I mean, there was a time when slavery seemed here to stay, and people who talked about getting rid of it were, you know, ignored, ridiculed, or jailed. And it wasn't all that long ago. You know, it was 150 some years ago, 160 years ago. And now most people can't consider how that was ever ethical and consider it an embarrassment, the same way that Germans consider the Nazis an embarrassment.
Right.
But they can't. Well, but those same people can't see the soft slavery that we're increasingly going to every day. And if you use the term soft slavery or emancipation or abolitionist for what we're trying to do or get away from, you know, we're trying to get away from offended. The soft slavery. Yeah, they get offended and call you, that's racist, man. That's racist.
Yeah.
You don't have a right to say that. You're white, you know.
Right. I had this conversation at the Domino's with, you know, he was a black dude. I guess that's relevant because, you know, slavery was obviously on sub-Saharan Africans, you know, black people. And he was in school for, I think, foreign policy or political science or something like that. And he said his argument back to me when I said, you know, it's slavery because a big portion of the sweat of our brow, of our labor, is taken away against our will. You know, we work 4 or 5 months out of the year, most of us, just for the state, for nobody else. We don't get to see any of that productivity. It all goes to somebody. He goes, yeah, but you know, the state provides you things. They give you roads, the roads that you drive on to work right now. The state provides you that. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, well, slave owners gave the slaves a house. They gave them food. They gave them the chitlins. You know, the slave owners had to provide for their slaves or else the slaves couldn't work. So that argument doesn't make any sense, that the state does good things for you, because A, it's not a net good, and B, because of course it does. It wants to keep its tax slaves happy.
Yep. Tranny Hooker 69 also said the Revolutionary War was a good business move by the founding fathers. And I said, yeah, they got to collect the taxes instead of pay them.
That's just it,
and
it?
I almost yeah. don't even, I mean, that is worthy of a chuckle, but I'm kind of like, that's not funny. That's so true. It's barely, it's not even funny, man. It's just fact. And yeah, the whole thing of, but the government pays for the roads. I mean, that is such a third grade argument. And that's where they start teaching it to you. You know, they start that. I wanted to interview your little brother sometime, who's the only person I know who's still in public, you know, middle school, and ask them, not that a lot of people aren't into it, but I just don't know many kids. And he's a kid that's worth knowing. Most kids annoy me. I guess I'm being ageist, but he's really cool. I want to talk to Knight sometime. Maybe I'll interview Knight on the gumbo. But I want to know how often that phrase comes up in school. It must come up daily or weekly, you know. Well, the government gives you roads. I really think the rote arguments for statism must be taught in school, because talking with people who are just out of high school, they so quickly revert to those. What are the other ones they revert to? Roads, police, military. Come on, help me out here. What are the other ones? There's more. Nima? I think we've lost Nima. Well, I'm going to play some music and take a little breaky break here and then go find my friend Nima. I think he's been droned, which probably means in a few seconds I'll be droned. So I'm going to play some music until we're droned. What should I play? Maybe I should play a Ben Stone podcast. Now let's play some Dead Kennedys. Dead Kennedys rock. Yeah.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Freedom Fiends, playing Dead Kennedys. Going all the way back to 1982 from the Frankenchrist album. You there, Nima? Yeah. Lost Nima, I think. Is Nima here? Let's see. Yeah, I don't have any Nima. So, this is Mr. Michael Dean.
Yeah. There we are.
Yeah.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, I lost I lost internet, not just power. It was weird. I didn't lose power.
Just internet.
This is a central scrutinizer. I thought you got droned, man.
I thought you got droned.
Yeah, everyone thought I got droned.
Yeah, well, good thing we didn't. But let's just pick it right back up. What do you say?
Go ahead, man. I'm going to eat some nuts. Right.
No, I was hoping you were picking up. You were talking. You were talking about hoping to talk to my little brother one day on the cast because
I want to know what they teach you in school, because I really feel like whenever I talk to someone who's fresh out of high school or in college even these days, they have the same rote arguments for statism. They have roads. Mm-hmm. What else do they have? I mean, I think they teach them in high school.
They have roads. They have Lord of the Flies is one they like, too.
It'll be chaos and violence in the streets.
Lord of the Flies, yeah. Chaos, violence. They also have, and this is really ignorant, they also have the economic crisis, right? Not only the one in 2008, because there was too much freedom somehow, freedom I never got to see, and too much freedom caused the economy to tank, so you need the government to guide it. You can't have unfettered capitalism, right? You need the fetteredness of the state, the fetters of the state, I guess, yeah.
Without the state, who would solve the economic crisis caused by the state?
Yeah, exactly. And FDR, right? The New Deal, the Great Depression, right?
Do you remember my dad, the lifelong Republican who loves Ron Paul? sitting on the interview saying how FDR did some good things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I do remember that. I want to be like...
FDR basically set up the Uber FedGov. He set up people being reliant on the FedGov economically, and that's when it all started to really go to hell. Like,
majorly. Also... He continued a lot of it because Herbert Hoover actually started the New Deal. That's why the dam in what is it, Nevada, the people go
Hoover
see from
dam,
Las Vegas,
the
Hoover Dam. It's not the Roosevelt Dam. It's the Hoover Dam.
Yeah. Everything is Herbert Hoover's fault.
There you go, man. So yeah, those are the main ones, man, that statists learn and that the state teaches kids and that we can't really keep up with because the state is doing it all the time to most kids in the country.
Somebody said, I hate the college. I think college kids are stupid. They complain about greedy corporations, but never about the greedy universities that charge them $1,000 per class.
Right. Or the state that whose subsidies allowed the prices to get so exorbitant. It's the government that they love so much that has created such a mess out of the whole higher education system and a mess out of the job market to where after you rack up your $100,000 in debt, you can't find a job anymore. And for some reason, they think that more state involvement is going to make things better when more state involvement is what caused the problem in the first place.
They actually do complain about classes costing $1,000 each. They think someone else should pay it.
Exactly, exactly. They think either the university should lower the price because they should get more funding from the state, you know, the state-run universities, or they think the government should give them more money.
I'm really proud of the fact that I flunked out of community college and I'm making an okay living. I am one of the only people I know who's never had any debt in his life. You know, like debt nice. I've had have been like, you know, I owe $300 to my dentist and it takes me a month to pay off. I've never had the most credit card debt I've ever had was like $1,000 and I paid it off within weeks. I've never had a student loan. I've never been in debt. I just skipped all that and said, you know, I was kind of like too bold for my own britches. I was like, I don't need college. I'm smart. That's for dumb people. And went off and like starved and slept on floors and played rock and roll and then figured out what to do for a living after starving. And it's worked out okay for me. And I'd like to offer myself as an example for anyone who wants to do that. And if you're like, okay, well, how do you do it? Go to michaelwdean.com and click on all Michael's media and look at the books I've written. Look at the podcasts I've done. I've done movies and books on how to do all this. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great stuff. And, you know, I'm really, now that I've learned more, I'm really trying to not get new debts and not take on debts. And, you know, I feel like my parents' generation, you know, that was one of the things was, you know, if you need something, you finance it. And, you know, that was kind of the boom of the 80s and 90s in the early 2000s was everybody financed everything. And it got a lot of people in trouble. It got the whole country, it got the whole world in trouble.
Yeah.
This concept that instead of working and saving, borrow and spend.
And that leads to your country stealing 10% of the money in your savings account overnight, like in Cyprus.
Well, and it's cyclical too. I mean, part of the reason people borrow and spend so much is because saving isn't incentivized. Saving would be incentivized naturally if everything was market transactions or the pure market, as you were trying to throw out the other day. But instead, that's not incentivized. You know, you don't get any money if you keep money in the bank. I mean, you get 0.01% on a savings account or something like that now.
Yeah, when I was a kid, savings accounts were like 6.5% or 7% interest. I mean, it actually
That's mind-blowing to me, man. I can't believe that.
Yeah, it actually made sense to put your money in a bank when I was a kid. My parents did it all the time and made interest. You know, now what is interest now? It's pennies, man. It's hundredths of a percent. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have a CD, and it's definitely less than 1%. It's like 0.5 or 0.05%.
That doesn't even keep up with inflation. You know, all these people in Cyprus, too, are trying to take the money out of the bank and put it in their mattress, and the bank won't let them. I mean, they'll let you take $300 out with the ATM, but even that ran out of cash, and they're not letting people come in and withdraw, you know, a large chunk.
I saw, I saw a pretty good political cartoon, and it was a reverse bank robbery. The people were going to the bank, and the teller was pointing the gun at them.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how banks work now, with help from the state.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't exist in their current form without the state. Like we said, that's why the bank holidays and the government holidays are the same thing, because banks are pretty much just a wing of the state. That's what the FDIC is for. You know, that's the Federal Reserve, pretty much, you know, they're the ones who administer and run the banking system. So it's all the state, man. Like what's his face said, it's all McDonald's. It's all the state.
What does that mean? I don't know that riff.
It's all junk, you know. We all have our McDonald's. We all have our junk that we ingest, whether it's fries and burgers or it's bad music or bad TV. You know, all of us have some junk that we are beholden to.
I saw an article on MSNBC titled something like, "The 10 corporations that come off as lefty but are really right-wingers," which is a really weird setup of it because... you know, like, wait, what? You know, and it was like, it was a couple of corporations, I can't even remember them, who like had given money to anti-homosexual Republican candidates and, you know, Apple for doing child slave labor in China. And I'm thinking like, wait a minute, this is on MSNBC, which is owned by General Electric. Like, who are they to say corporations don't have good world policies in how they deal with people? The people who make the drones and are the biggest single arm of the military-industrial complex are saying, these other companies are right-wingers. They're bad.
Well, yeah, there you go. Well, I think there's some nuance to it, too, right? Because people who are dumb tend to think that the government is the antithesis to the corporation and that the government is what keeps corporations in check. So they'll watch MSNBC and see something like that, and then they'll be more prone to call for and support government regulation of corporations. What they don't realize is that corporations love government regulations.
They write it. Favorite thing in the world. They write it.
They write it, and they write it to favor themselves over their competition, the smaller guys. So GE is smart for doing this, and people who look at it and go, oh, corporations are bad and the government needs to step in and do more, are the ones who end up being the victims.
Yeah.
But maybe they like it. Maybe it's some kind of Stockholm Syndrome weird thing.
They like being victims.
They do. They do. They like being victims as long as they get free health care and, I don't know, whatever else.
I have noticed that almost all leftists use Apple products for their computers.
Yeah, that's strange to me, too. I don't get that.
Well, it goes back to the time when there was a time when Apple computers were slightly ahead of Windows PCs in that they could do graphics more. So the creative types in 1979 had Apple computers, and the business types had PC. You know, I remember going into, even in the 80s, you know, the mid to late 80s, being a bike messenger and going into graphic arts places. And there'd be a room full of 30 people doing creative, quote unquote, basically just lying with advertising and doing it in a pretty way. But there'd be the creatives would be in this room all using shiny Apple computers. And the secretary and the accountant would be using Windows PCs. But those two companies have ripped each other off so much. And I say rip off because that's their terminology, because they're both two of the most copyright heavy government guns. We own it because we stole it. Really. I mean, literally, like, Apple started by stealing the mouse, the graphic user interface, and the file tree idea from Park Xerox. And then Microsoft stole those three things from Apple, and Apple was livid. They were horribly upset about it. And then at some point, because Microsoft was so aggressive with their business practices, and I do mean aggressive, like aggression, that they almost put Apple out of business, and they went in and actually bought 10% of Apple to save Apple. And I kind of think it's a keep your friends close and your enemies closer thing, and I think it's kind of a thing of like they didn't want to be accused of having a monopoly, so they helped save the only real competitor they had, so they could.
They didn't want to get trust busted.
Right. So Apple and Microsoft are so indistinguishable now that basically the difference is Apple stuff looks cooler and Microsoft stuff is cheaper and you can get pirated software for it easier. And there's more programs for it. I mean, literally, there are more programs for a PC to do a given thing than there are for Apple. And Apple computers, you can't really upgrade them. When they come out with a whole major OS upgrade, you basically have to throw the whole computer away and buy a new one. And they have this, like, Democrat-Republican argument of their users of, like, no, if you use a PC, you're bad. I use an Apple. I'm environmentally friendly and wonderful and use beautiful products that are made by slave labor, but I ignore that fact. So the real thing is, like, if you're in that argument, the only real thing to say is, no, man, get Linux, because that's the libertarian, that's the anarchist in that argument. You know, the Windows and the Mac are just arguing over Democrat versus Republican.
Yeah,
and I use a PC. I'm a minarchist with computers. I actually have my Linux. I unplugged my Linux computer and put it in the basement because it was taking up. Now that we got all this new gear, it's taking up too much space. And I'm like, I only use that for encrypted email, and I don't really even like encrypted email. It's a hassle. I have to go in and type it in, and strangers write me on it, and I don't want to get encrypted email from people I don't know. And basically, if you're someone I want to communicate with in an encrypted fashion, we already have each other's pigeon addresses and do it instant message, which leaves no record.
Exactly.
I think I'll pigeon something to Nima right now.
Yo. All right. Yeah, pigeon me, man.
Yo.
Yo. All right. I've got some pigeons here. Oh, you were just doing it as proof of concept.
Oh,
I thought you were going to...
Do you still have my pigeon open? Mine crashed. I had to reopen it. But do you still have my thing about T-shirts? That was something someone was pulling on our shirts tales about.
Yeah. Well, I don't have it. Oh, yeah, I do have it here. I remember it, though. Yeah, a fan of ours said, you know, we're a little bit more popular now. We got a lot more listeners. Maybe we should look back into doing some kind of high-quality T-shirts, because we did try some Cafe Press, I think it was, T-shirts, some on-demand printing T-shirts. And the problem with those, of course, is, you know, it's just like a plastic sticker that they kind of iron onto the front of the T-shirt. And after a few washings, it just looks like it's destroyed, you know, cracked, and doesn't look good anymore. So a fan of ours said, hey, you know, I wonder if you guys should look back into some good silk screening, you know, it'd be some good promotion, and I'd be willing to buy one, and I'm sure a lot of people would be willing to buy one, and maybe they would, you know, but Michael says that's not a priority right now. Why don't you go ahead, and this is your stance, Michael. I'm with you. You know, our priority right now is not merchandising. Our priority right now is radio gear, and once we've got some more radio under our belt and have an even bigger audience after that, then maybe we can revisit.
Yeah, and I do want to say, when we were talking about people funding things with debt, we don't do that, and we did cyberbag to get some help on our radio gear, but we're done cyberbagging. Unlike most people who cyberbag and go, hey, this is a good income stream, and do it forever, we're done for now. I mean, people can still donate if they want or buy buttons or whatever, and they get buttons. And lately, I've been sending buttons to anyone who donates over $10 who's in America who I can ship it to without getting butt raped by customs. But... yeah, we're done. I think we are zero pieces of gear away from perfection.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out once we're on radio. But I think you're right too.
You don't have your you haven't got the knob Master 90 in the mail yet.
Yeah, I'm waiting on the Knobtron 90.
Knobtron 90.
Michael's sending me his old mixer. Which he was trying to sell, but one of the issues is its USB interface only works with Windows XP, which who the hell wants to use Windows XP, man? Not me. I got 7 and I love it, but that's not my how I'm going into my computer, and that's not what I need. I need something that'll mix down the audio from my computer and the audio from my mic back into one signal that I can then put back into the computer.
You need an old school mixer. You want to use it without USB, just the way we used
to use
mixers.
Without USB. I just want it to mix a signal. That's all I want it to do. I don't want it to interact with my computer at all. It's only going to interact as an analog mixer back into the audio interface. So once I get that, I'll have all the effects that Michael used to have. I won't have the DJ effect. Well, I guess I could with that. Yeah, I could incorporate the DJ mixer too, but I won't. I'll just use the same old effects that Michael had. So I'm going to have fun with some pitch shifting, I think, because I think it pitch shifted too. So I'm going to slow it down and bring it back to the H-Town days. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm posting a picture that Mark just sent me from Canada, Fiend Fan. And my comment is this legal? I gotta post this picture. Hang on, I'm putting it on Twitter, which is how I do it. It's a picture.
Is it the Freedom Fiend butt plugs that Tranny Hooker's trying to sell?
No, but I think we're going to get there pretty soon. We're saving that for the last bit. But yeah, the butt health and butt fun, butthole surfers. Man, am I still on the internet? I feel like it's dropping off again. It's taking forever to upload.
I hear
this
you.
Thing. Yeah, good.
I hear you.
3D printable butt plugs. Move over, Cody Wilson. Move over and put one of these in.
Ah,
make love, six, not six. War, with printable butt plugs.
Hey, you know there could be a bit, well.
Not
I don't know.
That,
I guess
not that
texture.
Guns are war, but you know.
Yeah. There you go. All right, I like it. Says Tranny Hooker.
Yeah.
Are we still waiting on this pick?
Yeah, man. I don't know what's happening.
Well, okay. While you wait on the pick, I'll take us in another lighthearted direction so we don't get too heavy before we pick out. Jesse Pinkman's 1984 Toyota Tercel from Breaking Bad is for sale, and I want it. It is awesome. Those who are fans of the show probably have watched Breaking Bad and know that it is a badass show. And that old junker car that's an old Toyota wagon. Somebody's selling the actual car from the movie.
Are there bags of speed hidden in it?
I hope so. I hope so. There's some crystal left over
there.
Want
that,
no, but you were like, man, that's a piece of junk. But hey, man, I like old wagons, especially old Toyota or Japanese wagons, because I feel they're cool. You get extra storage space. And this one was all-wheel drive. In fact, you were like, that's a junker. But I did a little bit of research on the 1984 Toyota Tercel wagon. And people say that's the only Tercel that didn't suck. One person here has driven it over 400,000 miles and says it's still going strong, gets great gas mileage, and is rugged.
Rugged.
Toyota Tercel wagon.
Ooh.
It's rugged.
Mr. Slave.
Yeah, man. And I like old cars. I like to not have car payments is my big thing. And it's kind of been tough lately because we haven't had the best of luck in the past few months with our old cars. But that doesn't mean we're swearing off them for good. So I'm going to keep my eye out and try to scoop up that Breaking Bad car if I can.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get this image up, man. Hey, we got a female fan. I thought we were all angry young men in our fans, and I think it's pretty cool.
We've had a few. Didn't we have somebody's wife, somebody's mom? There was a mom.
Yeah, your
that,
mom.
Like,
it was your mom.
No, it wasn't my mom. No. There was some other mom who was a teacher in Texas, coincidentally, that liked to listen to
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or was that my was that
No,
my
that
mom?
Was the mom. That was the wife of the guy that does the survival some survival blog. He's my buddy. God, what's his name? I'm multitasking.
Justin.
Yeah.
Justin West.
Yes. Maybe? Yes. It was Mrs. West.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mrs. West. Yeah, but not the Kardashian one.
Yeah. Okay. So, Mark, what do you do for a living? Is this a? Are you a state bot? I'm having to ask because of this picture. It's okay if you are.
Is this a picture of a fiend doing his state job?
I think it is, but he's got his dog with him, and he's got his laptop open like while he's driving to the fiend's chat room. That's why my comment is this legal?
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Is it legal?
Yeah. Is it legal? Drive with a laptop in the seat? Yeah, I don't see why not.
Especially if you're working for the state. You can say, I work for the state.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cops have their laptops mounted like in the middle. Like that's part of their job is typing things and clicking things while they drive. While they goon you, they're checking their Facebook.
While they're tweeting about it. I just gooned someone. It was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I really like that word, goon, especially
as a verb.
While I gooned you. Yeah, cuz that's really what it is, man. And I don't like to let the status get away with their little word twisting, you know, pulled over, given a ticket. No, man. I got gooned. That's all it is. That's all it boils down to.
Gooned. So you want to talk
pay
about
your tickets.
Buttholes your or something tickets. Today?
We were going to save it for the last half hour, and we've got 8 minutes left to the last half hour.
Well, maybe we could read this letter from a female fan. It's so rare. I mean, I really thought all of our fans were angry young men, which is good because I'm a cranky old man, and I can help angry young men put their anger into a good place, which is basically just turning into cranky old man who look at squirrels and like snow, the snow out the window. Yeah, I forgot to mention in that movie Rear Window, when the guy fends off the murderer with the flash bulbs, he fends him off only long enough for the police to show up and arrest the guy.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Wait for the police to come and save you. They're professionals, don't you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're professional tax eaters is what they are.
All right, so the Twitters ain't working, so I'm just posting this. I had to upload it to our site, so hope y'all can see that. Let me send it to you, Nima. It is an awesome picture.
You're assault. Oh, sorry. You've got assault internet today.
Assault internet.
Oh, look at that.
Isn't that awesome?
That's so cute. Yeah, it's a puppy.
What do you do for a living?
You got to put it in the show notes so people will know what we're talking about.
What is this truck? What is your goon job? I want to know. It's okay. We can work with you on it. But just tell us what you do with this dog and this orange jumpsuit and the CB radio. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. It could just be a construction job. You know, people who do construction wear those yellow jackets sometimes. Right. Although they're usually paid, a lot of times they're paid by the state to do things.
Yeah. But you know, whatever. It's pretty hard to be pure these days. I'm not. I drive on the roads. Yeah. I drive on the roads, and I'm actually happy when the state guys come out and fix them, because the roads in Wyoming leave something to be desired, which is really bizarre, because I've said there's a family here that's been for 50 years in charge of all the road contracts, winning them all, and they live in a series of mansions on a street that only serves their house called Luck Street, and it is like, it makes the White House look like a porta potty, man. So apparently that's where the money's going for the roads.
Right. Well, when the situation you're in is based on aggression, you don't get to make a moral choice. The choice you make isn't based on morality. I mean, if the guns are pointed at people to pay for the roads, then you don't get to then any choice you make to not drive on the roads or to drive on the roads, it doesn't matter because the roads weren't provided there in any kind of a moral situation in the first place.
So he's a truck driver. He's not a state goon. He's a truck driver. Good. And someone said
truck drivers need those orange suits too.
Someone said that's the cutest drone operator ever. Lap dogs have no mercy. What do they do? I have lap cats.
Lap cats. Yeah. Are they really? I thought your cats were squirmy and running away from you.
Yeah, but no. If Peanut lives on my lap, and then when I light a cigarette, he looks at me like a nanny stater. Like there ought to be a law. He goes and sits on top of the mixer and then comes back when I'm done with smoking.
Really? So you have a cat that's like from one of those anti-drug PSAs?
Yes.
Like the dog?
Yeah, the talking dog.
The dude for smoking pot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was an awesome one.
Yeah, yeah. I loved Joe Rogan's take on that. Like, you talk now and you're just now saying something and that's the first thing you think to say is why do you smoke pot? It's not I love you or thank you for picking up my poop every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What are you eating? You're always eating on air. That's poor, poor radio etiquette.
No, it's my thing, man. I'm changing radio
it's your
etiquette.
Thing? All right. Well, I'm gonna ask the fiends. Fiends, do you like when you hear Michael crunching? Are you that into Michael?
You know like what it sounds exactly like, because it's mic'd so well. On Fight Club, where the main character calls Tyler Durden after his apartment blows up, calls him on the phone, no answer, hangs up, gets Star 69 back, picks it up in the phone booth, and it's like, who called me?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, I've heard it said that eating is the most metal thing in the world.
Huh.
Because if you think about it, food gets pushed into a dank, dark hole, and then it gets crushed by 32 bones, and then pushed by a meat snake into a pit of acid, where it is destroyed.
And then it goes further, and that's the part we're going to talk about for starting in 3 minutes for the next half hour.
Well, that seg's too good, so I guess we got to do it.
Let me.
And then doesn't.
Although drift. Someone said we're having no latency, and I don't think we are. I think it's good.
Okay. All right.
Well, yeah. Let's play a song. Let's play something. Do I have any Butthole Surfers? That would be good for.
Yeah. Let's see. Play their hit. Their hit is a great song.
I don't remember
what it's called.
I don't have it.
I just think of it as the Butthole Surfers song.
Let's play Government Flu by Dead Kennedys. Because I think I've still got a little bit of it. Going all the way back to 1971. 79. 78.
Why are you such a stupid asshole? Would you really like to know? Well, here you see. Remove your clothes and the vet will show you how. You went to school where you were taught to fear and to obey. Be cheerful, fit in, or someone might think you're weird. Life can be perfect. People can be trusted. Someday I will fall in love. A nice, quiet home of my very own. Free from all pain. Happy and having fun all the time. It never happened, did it?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That old punk rock gets my blood pumping.
The punk rock musical. Punk musical rock band.
Punch the clock. Why don't you punch your boss? You know, that's kind of a socialist.
On your boss.
That's kind of a socialist rhetoric, but who can't relate with that at some point in their life?
Mm.
Punch the clock. Why don't you punch your boss?
The mental Prozac of just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I got a little bit of house cleaning here from a
butthole cleaning. Butthole cleaning.
Not yet. Before we get into that, a fan who's a good fan, who's a good donating fan.
The ones who don't donate are bad fans?
No, they're great. That's why I said it. That's why I said it twice. I said a good fan and a good donating fan. He's both. So yeah, he says that he's now seeding the Fiends feed through his Android tablet.
Wow.
He had assumed that since he stopped using a standard laptop desktop for personal use, that torrent seeding wasn't something he could do. But it turns out there are numerous torrent apps for mobile devices that will do it.
There's nothing that Android apparently can't do unless Steve Jobs succeeds in stopping it from beyond the grave, which he'd like to. He's working on it.
Okay, he is. This is posthumous legacy.
It is. But, they're still suing over that.
So the guy says he uses a thing called TTorrent on the Android system, but there are others available that get good reviews as well. So especially if you got, it sounds like what this guy is he switched from a desktop laptop and now his home computer is just a tablet. And so if that's your situation, hey, it's doable. If you've got a phone and you've got unlimited data and you love the Fiends, and you got an Android system, go ahead and try this out, man.
Yeah. And if you got unlimited data, explain to Ben Quaker how you do it so when he goes on the road, we don't lose him down the rabbit hole for months.
Just go to the Google App Store. I guess it's called Google Play now, and just search for torrents. Torrent. Just put torrent in the search, I'm sure you'll get a bunch of apps.
Do you see the Fiends Pup picture?
The Fiends Pup, no. Is there a thing now?
Yeah, it's really, really beautiful. This is going to be, I'm going to use this on the cast today. Maybe not the top image, but yeah. Yeah.
That is a cute pic of that pup.
I love the internet. There's a picture of my bedroom in Canada with a dog drooling on it right now. Well, he's not drooling, but he looks like he could reach over and bite my room. I like it.
Yeah.
Man, that laptop display is great. And that's like a netbook, isn't it? Or is that dog big? A dog looks tiny and that's a netbook, huh? Is it?
No, that's a full size. That's a full size laptop.
Full size travel laptops kind of look like cook stoves to me. It looks like you could cook something on that keyboard. I like that. They're kind of made rugged a little bit.
Yeah. There you go.
So how's your butthole, Nima?
Oh, man.
You've been
itching.
No pun intended. You've been itching to talk about how in Soviet Merca, toilet pees on you.
Yeah. So, my wife bought me a bidet for my birthday.
I thought you bought it for her.
Was a couple weeks ago.
You said you bought it for her.
I did not.
You did. And then she said, I don't want people knowing that. I record all my calls. Let me go find it. I'm kidding.
Okay. No. Well, she bought it from her Amazon account. That's how I could prove it. I could show you the Amazon receipt. She bought it for me. Plus, her birthday wasn't recently. Her birthday is May 19th. My birthday was 2 weeks ago.
No one knows when my birthday is.
Okay. So, yeah. Anyway, that's a digression and neither here nor there. But I'd been asking about it lately because I thought that'd be something cool to try. You know, so much of the civilized world, instead of using dead trees full of splinters to wipe their butts, they give their little buttholes a shower. And how amazing is that? And so I thought that would be an interesting thing to try. And they're fairly cheap. You can buy them on Amazon, $40. You got to do a little amateur plumbing, but it wasn't that hard. You just needed a wrench and to make sure everything was tight. And
isn't that a violation of the 3,000 felonies a day?
Maybe.
Is it a low flow bidet?
I'm not licensed. I don't know, man. It doesn't feel low flow to me. In fact, I only turn it up halfway, and it's plenty. But yeah, and this is kind of gross and TMI, but I do want to just say that I guess I don't understand why it hasn't caught on more, especially after using it, because I literally feel so much happier and so much better and so much cleaner. And I would advise people who have crappy days, no pun definitely intended, to go ahead and give this a try.
Well, send me the Amazon link and I will make a Fiends affiliate link for the butthole washer that you love so much. How much was it? $40?
Yeah, $40. I don't have the link on hand. I'll search it after the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I mean, just think about it. And the thing is, you know, for people who have to wipe a lot, toilet paper is not a good solution. And literally, after using the
bidet. Do you think we should be banned to using one per wipe? You could use one per wipe to wipe the water off when you're done bidetting.
I'm not saying anything about the price or the cost or the eco-friendliness.
You just like squirting water up your, I mean, on
my,
your butthole.
My wife's kind of on that tip. Yeah, man. I mean, okay. So I used to go through like two rolls of toilet paper a day. And it's like your nose. You know when you get sick and you got to blow your nose constantly? Doesn't your nose get a little red and irritated?
I don't blow my nose. I don't know if you know that. I guess you've been around me so you know that. But I've blown my nose like 5 times in my life. I hate it. I just sniffle and spit.
Well, and when you go to the eye doctor and get glasses, they tell you not to clean your glasses with toilet paper or tissue paper because it is chopped
up wood. It's basically really soft sandpaper.
Yeah, and
it's
it will scratch
boards, basically. Yeah,
right. And it will scratch the lens of your glasses when you clean the optics of a camera. You're never supposed to use tissue or toilet paper or anything like that. You got to use a soft cloth. And so why do we give our glasses and our cameras so much better of a treatment than a piece of our body that is very sensitive?
Well, I can answer that.
I've decided to stop. Okay, go ahead.
I can answer that. Peanut, get away. See, when I'm using the mixer, it's not covered with the cat force field my wife made, the Cat Master 300.
And the cat wants to jump on the knobs.
The Cat Master 300.
Pussy on the knobs. Yeah.
Well, I can answer why Americans don't use bidets. Because all it's right. French, man. The only time I've ever seen a bidet was when I stayed in a 5-star hotel put up by the city of Deauville. When I was showing the Selby movie there in 2005, when I was flown out to be in that film festival and treated like a god for a week and then came back to LA where, you know, I was almost getting evicted and didn't have money to do my laundry. But it was pretty special, man. The hotel room they put me in, where I was 2 doors down the hall from Pierce Brosnan and 4 doors down the hall from Robert Downey Jr., who probably had bigger rooms than me, but my room is pretty nice. It's the most luxe room I've ever stayed in. And I was actually staying there with a fan of my work who is a French model who was gorgeous, who did not sleep with me. But it was kind of cool walking around with arm candy like that. I hate to say it, but it's like, you know, you don't want to go to a film festival and put on your best clothes and walk around yourself. It's pretty cool to have a French model on your arm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
I could see that.
It was nice, and she was good company. I liked her. She was she was not provided by the film festival, by the way. She was, she was a pen pal of mine. But the bathroom had two toilets. One was a toilet and one was a bidet, you know, a porcelain bidet with a thing in the middle that squirted. It wasn't an add-on like what we're pitching on Amazon here. Do you have the Amazon link yet? We got to post that.
Okay, I'll search for it while you're talking.
Okay.
I didn't buy it, so I'm going to have to search through Amazon for a little bit.
Okay. So I don't buy that Americans want to squirt water on their buttholes because Americans are not as open about their buttholes as the rest of the world. Now, you were talking...
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's some kind of puritanical throwback or what?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's also homophobia. I really think that American males believe that if they enjoy anything involving that region, that it means they're gay and not good Americans. I have long enjoyed matters of the beehole, and I don't want to get into prurient talk here because we are practicing for radio. I don't think any of this is radio friendly, though it would be in France, although they wouldn't listen to it because we're speaking English and they're extremely nationalistic about their language and their buttholes.
I guess I can see what you're saying, that that's why it never caught on in America, but I don't think that that means it can't, because there are some differences between the traditional French bidets. The traditional French bidets are like built into their bathrooms. It's a separate thing. There's a toilet bowl, and then you go get up and go sit down on the bidet.
Well, some places they only have a bidet. This hotel, since it catered to an American film festival every year, also had a
both.
Toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the other thing about French bidets is they were set up to where you could sit on them regular, or you could sit on them reverse cowgirl, for those who remember that South Park episode. And it was all, not only
isn't
intended
that a,
to clean
what
you,
is that? Is that a sex act where the woman's on top facing away from the man's face?
It is that, and then I'm it's also assuming. In a South Park episode, the guy who invented the John actually meant you to sit on it reverse cowgirl, and then Butters tries to sit on it reverse cowgirl. It's kind of a funny joke. But in the original French bidets, you could sit on it either way, and you would sit on it reverse cowgirl when you wanted to wash your genitals to prepare for sex. So the bidet was a part of original French – or not original French sex, but the original bidet was a part of sex in the French culture, was you wash yourself before and after you get it on.
Americans outside of San Francisco are this is kind of collectivist of me to lump them all together, but I would say a large majority of them statistically are not ready for a piece of equipment in their home that is primarily for preparing them for sex when it's something that can't be tucked away in a drawer, where it's something that the neighbors are going to see or workmen are going to see if they come into your bathroom.
Right.
Americans are square, man. That's all. They don't love the butthole like we do.
Is that it? Well, these add-on things, though, I mean, they're not for that. They're not a separate thing. They can be hidden away. The one I bought isn't really hidden away that well, but you can buy ones that you can't tell there's a bidet on your toilet or
well,
not.
You sent me a picture of it, and it said, don't forget to register your bidet, and it had a website. And I'm like, don't register your bidets, people.
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about it on air.
Basically,
or talk about it to you, but
basically, if some religious neocon becomes president, he may round up people who have a bidet and will use the registrations to find you.
There you go.
What amendment covers that? I think it's covered in the Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness.
Ah, I think so. Happy buttholes.
Yeah,
happy buttholes equals happy people. Maybe that's why Americans are angry all the time.
Yeah, I think if everyone had a bidet, there'd be no war. Possibly.
No, you don't think that because, you know, there was European warmongers throughout history that probably used
gold,
bidets.
Napoleon probably
used a bidet.
He probably had a gold-plated bidet made from the teeth of servants that he'd had slaughtered.
No, he probably had the servants, like, drink a swig of water and then spit water into his butthole from below.
Okay, we're bordering on prurient, but I'm almost willing to take it. I would say, let's say the rest of the cast is going to be completely prurient. And if you are offended, stop listening to this live. If you are easily offended and you're listening to this recorded later, stop listening now. Burn your MP3 player and salt it so nothing will ever grow there again. If you're a radio programmer, man, what are you playing this part of the Fiends for? But this would never end up on our show live. I'm going to say that as a disclaimer. So it's, you know,
this is special for our fans.
One of our last, yeah.
To know about our buttholes.
All right. And if you're under legal age in your community, leave now and move to a, when you're old enough, move to a hipper community. So
I don't even think we could say buttholes on the radio, can we?
You could call someone a butthole. Maybe,
but we
couldn't talk
about how good my butthole feels after I stopped using toilet paper.
Yeah, I want to talk about doing tranny hookers while they sit on a bidet while you snort Gold Bond medicated powder off of their hormone-induced boobs.
All right. Do you have a story to tell us, Michael?
I don't know, man. I have this theory that crystal methamphetamine makes straight men gay. Although I've always been kind of bi, but
I've heard those kind of things, but I always thought that was just like drug warriors saying things like, "You smoke one joint and you'll be gay." Oh no, don't do it.
I don't know, man. I will say this: that methamphetamine is the only actual chemical aphrodisiac I've ever encountered. I guess cocaine is too, but I never did much of that. But yeah, back in the day, well, let's just say I had a friend. All right, I don't want to, you know, they might like start rounding people up who used to do drugs 40 years ago. So I will say I used to like to shoot meth, dress up in women's clothing, and give myself enemas for hours and hours and hours. You know, when you said, "I got a bidet, I'm special. You have nothing in your home like that." And I'm like, "Dude, you don't know what's in my home."
I did not say it like that, and I didn't say you have nothing in your home.
I told you
like
I was going to out you, but I don't even know if I can go sure. further than that and talking about a naughty nursey if we're like that. Yeah, we can't talk about that, man. Or we did.
You just did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I guess you win in that regard. I'm not going to try to challenge you on that. I just wanted to say that it's strange to me. And I guess that's what the market is for. The market still provided for my need, even though society as a whole doesn't do this thing that I think is amazing and everybody should do. Well, I don't even think everybody should do it. I just think it works for me, and it works for me so much better than what everybody else does that I'm glad I can go to Amazon and buy a bidet and not have to worry about using toilet paper. And yes, you know, you still got to wipe up a little bit, but there's these things called family cloth, and they're soft and wonderful.
This is
wash them.
Weird and disgusting. It's like hankies for your butt that you wash.
Yeah, and I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, it's after you've removed the poo with the bidet, right?
Exactly. You sit there and bidet for a while, and it's just...
You bidet, is that a verb? Is that a verb now?
It should be.
You sit there and bidet for a while?
Yeah, you bidet for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, well, after you take a shower or a bath, right, do you not dry your butt?
No, I dry my butt.
Is there anybody out there who doesn't? Okay, so it's the same thing.
I got to turn you down, man. You're getting really excited. I don't know why, but you're really getting loud and excited. You can get loud. I just turned you down a little bit. Just keep ranting about your butthole and how wonderful you've discovered cleaning it can be.
So after you take a shower, you clean your butt with a towel. So using family cloth is no different than that. It's a piece of soft fabric. The ones we have are made out of flannel specifically for this purpose. And then you have a bin that you put them in like you would a cloth diaper, which we do plan on cloth diapering our babies as well. And then, you wash them. You know, you keep 30, you know, three dozen or something like that on hand so that you don't have to sit there and worry about washing them every day. And you wash them by themselves with nothing else in there. And it's fine. And that way you're cleaner, I think. I feel cleaner, like way cleaner than when I just use toilet paper. And it feels better. And because of those two things, you know, you walk around all day. Comedians have talked about this, so I think I could talk about it. You walk around sometimes, and maybe even though you used half a roll of toilet paper, you miss a little bit, you know, one little tiny bit, and then you sweat, and then it gets everywhere, and then you chafe. That's the worst feeling in the world. That's like the biggest factor, or it's one of the things that's going to make you so cranky for something that is completely preventable by just thinking outside of the box when it comes to basic hygiene.
Do you think we should get Fiends bidets made up?
Yeah.
Someone said WTF is Nima talking about, and this is Tranny Hooker 69 saying it. I think Tranny Hooker went and made a sandwich or did some crocodile and came back, and like it's echoing in his head, and he's like, what butthole, butthole, butthole.
Yeah, man. Okay, so yeah, I guess I just had to get that out of my system. Luckily, before we're on radio.
Butthole. Man, I can't find the effects on the Knobmaster 9000. I don't want to. We got a good sound.
Yeah. So I guess I apologize for people who didn't want to hear a discussion about.
We gave a disclaimer. He must have missed that while doing some crocodile and gold blonde powder.
Yeah.
In the other room.
All right.
Greetings, cool. Fiends.
So do you have anything to add? You said you were going to out-butthole me, and I guess you kind of did, but I don't know if you had.
I don't know, man. I could. I mean, DJ and I used to do a cast where we did these things live, not only talked about them, but I don't know. And I'm not going to say, well, I've grown up. Nah, I want to talk about tyranny. Okay. You know, if there's a great demand in the comment section for more of that, I'll do more of it at some point.
I don't think there is.
I don't think there is. What the F is Nima talking about? So yeah,
exactly. That was my redemption, is that Nima's going to be in a lot better mood lately.
It's working. Butthole health is important to... Now, if everyone in the world had a bidet and understood the non-aggression principle, there'd be no war.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I also just found it interesting how toilet paper sort of came about is before you could go buy toilet paper widely, it was common to use newspaper
or other paper products. I thought we were done with
like this. This is paper. This is not bidet.
I want to talk about patent trolls.
The old farmer's almanac was actually sold with a hole punched in the corner specifically so it could be hung on a nail in an outhouse. And used to wipe with. Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking up patent on toilet paper because then I can segue.
Segue, yeah.
Zeth Wheeler patented the rolled and perforated wrapping paper in 1871. By 1874, he had his own business, the Rolled Wrapping Paper Company. But the company couldn't turn a profit. See, because Americans weren't ready to make their butthole comfortable by using something other than a pine cone to wipe with. But it is U.S. Patent 117355, issued July 25th, 1871. There you go, man. So I want to talk about patent trolls. First of all, I want to add one thing about socialists who complain about the wrong things. Tom Morello, we mentioned him last time, guitarist from Rage Against the Machine. He complains about capitalism, yet he sure engages in a lot of it. You know, he signed to Warner Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
He's a pimp for Guitar Center. You know, he does live appearances and pimps their gear. And he talks long and hard about being a socialist. Actually, my friend who I know in person,
he has endorsement deals, doesn't he? He does endorsement deals for gear, doesn't he?
My friend Jeff Ramone, it's all his fault. He's someone I know in real life from Phoenix, good friend of mine. Actually went to high school with Tom Morello and turned Tom Morello onto socialism and communism. Before that, he was just a stoner who wanted to play rock guitar. So, Jeff Ramone, it's your fault. Go talk to that guy and teach him better.
Yeah, why don't you convince Jeff Ramone and then have Jeff Ramone convince Tom Morello?
I tried on Facebook a lot. Jeff Ramone is interesting because he's one of my favorite kinds of statists. He's one that will always jump in with some statist argument. And then when you give him logic, he goes, yeah, I guess you're right, and quits arguing with you. That's a rare statist, man.
But he still doesn't change his beliefs.
No, it's kind of like how on sitcoms, every week the hero F's up and then learns a lesson by the end of the thing. But he only learns a lesson for that one thing and it doesn't transfer to anything else in that situation. Kind of like how the government can guarantee, if you petition the American government not to drone you, they will say they won't drone you, but they won't say they won't drone anybody.
Right. You specifically.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we have much time to get into this, but Obama violated the Constitution to help patent trolls recently. He made this directive to change who can get a patent from the first to invent to the first to file, which literally paves the way for patent trolls. Like, you don't have to be the person to invent it. You have to be the first person at the patent office, which is not how it used to be.
So it could already be invented and being used and common in people's homes, and nobody ever patented it. And then a troll could just be like, oh, well, that's mine. I patented it, like podcasting. 20 years after the fact.
But Obama recently also made some statement damning patent trolls and said they were bad for America.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Because that's what you do. Like, that's modus operandi. That's standard operating procedure of the government is denounce something that you yourself are doing so that to try to throw dumb people off the scent of your tyranny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
violence is wrong, and we got to get all this violence out of our society. and then you press the button to drone somebody.
Well, we're almost at the end here. I think we should, unless you got a closing comment, I think we should play some out music that's not our usual out music.
Sure.
Let's play Riot. Riot is a good Dead Kennedy song. It's about how people who are protesting tend to burn their own neighborhood to the ground instead of going to where it would actually affect someone that they're complaining against. So say Worms, Nima.
Worms.
All right. Going all the way back to 1971 here with Dead Kennedy's Riot.
Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarious money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal, or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Fiends Agenda. We'll be back streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. MP3 archives of all Freedom Fiends episodes are available free at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com. Worms.